our last speaker for the afternoon. The case study, developing field scale nitrogen budget for watershed irrigation. Dr. Vasek.
Good afternoon. My name's I'm Fred Vitasek, and got the tail end Charlie spot here. So a couple things here. First, I want to recognize my partner in crime, Dr. Brian Hopkins. Second, I want to express my appreciation for you hanging in here, and hope that my case study is worth your time for staying. The saga begins in about 1990 when a operating permit was issued to a beef processing facility in Texas Panhandle. There it is. And this permit listed a whole series of records that this facility had to keep. But where I got involved in it was this nitrogen balance calculation. And nitrogen balance sounds fairly simple and straightforward, but I found over a period of time that it's really not like that. And I'd like to show you some of these things. First, a little bit about the facility itself. This is a facility, wastewater treatment and retention ponds, and these are the center pivots that were used to irrigate the effluent through the fields. Total of about 1,500 acres of land, four to five different producers. So we had a variety of crops. Most of it was centered around corn and cotton, but we got other things like sorghum and alfalfa and wheat into the rotation. The soils were Pullman clay loams, real common Texas soil. As a matter of fact, I think it's a state soil, a deep soil, very level, very flat. Now, one of the things we did in order to comply here was we had to do some soil sampling, and because of there's a number of pipelines and electric lines and such in there, for safety reasons, but also for agronomic reasons, we took the large field, pivots average about 120 acres in size, and we added located these little microplots, and these are permanent plots, and we sampled them, and I was involved in this project for 18 years, and so we returned to these microplots every year to do our sampling. And the way we sampled them was we would sample a transect across that plot, a consistent transect. We'd sample it 5 feet deep in increments of about a foot, or of 1 foot increments. We'd do the analysis so that we could take a look at nitrate, in this case nitrate distribution, but it also gave us an ability to calculate a mass of nitrate. So I'm going to express things on the basis of a mass of nitrate. The budgeting process is very simple equation. You take your inputs, you take your nitrogen outputs, and you calculate your change in nitrogen. So what we did to develop this nitrogen budget, we had a fair amount of data available to us. We had monthly wastewater flows, so we knew the mass of water, or weight of water, you might say, volume of water, I guess, going to each center pivot. And this was complicated a little bit. Sometimes the pivots were planted half and half or third and third different crops. So sometimes this presented a challenge. We also had the average monthly concentrations for the nitrogen content in the water. We also would analyze for total nitrogen in the soil. We made an estimate of nitrate that was mineralized from the organic nitrogen in the soil. Then month by month, we'd calculate a loss value based on a percentage of the mass of nitrate that was applied to the field. We also kept track of the information we got, crop yield, so we knew at least somewhat the amount of nitrogen that was going off in the forage or in the grain sometimes by grazing. And then what we did was we looked month by month by month, used that top equation and calculated, and at the end of the year or on an annual basis, we'd sum those up, and that's what I'm going to refer to as our predicted nitrogen balance. Then we'd take that soil sampling information to validate it, and we'd look at the change in the mass of soil nitrate, and we sampled after harvest each year. So from 1 year to the next, we looked at that change in nitrate. This is a product that we've delivered to the customer, listed all the different information, the assumptions, and that sort of thing in a table form. We had our inputs. We showed, and this is by each line in here is a separate microplot. So we'd calculate all those, and we had the nitrogen outputs. calculated predicted delta nitrogen, and an actual delta nitrogen. Well, how'd we do? You know, I thought I was a pretty good agronomist right up the time I started taking a look at this, because the x-axis is what we predicted and the y-axis is the actual. Over at your lower right is kind of a waste of time, but calculate a regression. And, you know, so this is real-life data. And I had to deliver something to the customer, which then they had to deliver to the regulatory agency. And Mom always, you know, she had this phrase, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. And probably couldn't do that, but I was hoping we could make a better-looking sow's ear. So tried to dig into the data and just see what, you know, where did I go wrong or what happened. Well, how accurate were we? So I just did a little simple calculation here just to look how far off I was in my predictions versus the actual. And, you know, when you look at it, got a nice normal, if I can do this, a nice normal distribution, a nice bell curve there. The only problem is it's a little bit shifted over to the right. So what it boils down to is every time we'd underpredict, we got very few zeros, but every time we'd underpredict, we'd overpredict by about 2.5 times. So if you know, you think of each one of these as sort of a micro budget, well, we got them kind of right if we look at a standard deviation, but there's some times we got some real skewing, and you know, that's not what customers like to see. That's not what regulatory agencies like to see. And you know, why did we get that sort of thing? Well, these are some of the challenges you face when you try to take a model and try to make it fit real life. We had our natural variability. These soils are pretty consistently Pullman clay loam, same soil type, but there's still some variation in slope and that sort of thing. We had natural variations in wastewater due to the inputs from the packing plant and the treatment process. We had differences, of course, in the climate from year to year across the region, and even microclimate. You know, the center pivots, typically they'd run a 72-hour cycle. So one of those microplots might be, if we started the pivot, the center pivot might go over the microplot, say, the afternoon of day one, and another microplot, the last microplot, the evening or late night of day three. And so you had 3 days of weather that could potentially affect the microplots in the very same field, even though we treated them the same. And, of course, nitrogen cycling. We accounted for nitrate. We looked at ammonium, which didn't really, soil ammonium didn't give us a lot of information. Total nitrogen, who knows where the nitrogen could have been buffered or in some forms we weren't looking at. Big problem we had was data quality and completeness. We depended on the wastewater plant operator to supply us with that annual summary of their operations. We'd like to have TKN, ammonia, and nitrate to do our calculations, and sometimes we got all three, and sometimes we got two out of three, and sometimes we had to interpolate and make guesses at what we actually got. Of course, there's time and budget limitations. We couldn't spend a lot of time and effort in there. We had to present something that was affordable to the client, and you know, it's just like the budgets you face. You can only do so much with what you've got. One big problem we found was personnel variability. Over the 18 years, we had, I think, if I counted right, 7 different wastewater plant operators. And there's operational priorities. The operators each had different skill levels and different priorities in what they were doing. The plant manager, the overall facility manager, I never met the managers, but you know, they had their priorities and would maybe place more or less priority on the wastewater operation. And finally, we were not involved in the decision-making process. We were about 270 miles away from this facility, so we just had to do things sort of long distance. And really, we were never involved in any planning process. All we were doing was providing a post-mortem. So there's limitations as to what we could do. Well, one thing I tried to take a look at was, well, let's consolidate this data. So I took those microplots for each field, and based on kind of a proportion of that microplot, what part of the field it represented, I averaged them. And these are weighted averages for the field itself, field by field. So it looks like it cleaned it up, but in reality, the we've still got the same amount of variability there. It's just been, we've kind of disguised it a little bit by the weighting process. But maybe it gives us something a little bit easier to work with. Finally, I took that, all the field, those budgets, and consolidated them into a project budget, weighting using that area of the field as a proportion of the entire land area of the project. And what you're seeing here is the project budgets from year to year to year. And that line is going historically from oldest to newest. Now, if you can see a pattern in that, please, you know, speak up right now. But I really couldn't see a pattern in it. Took a look at it a little bit differently. Took the predicted and actual and laid it out on a time series from 1992 to 2009. A lot of discrepancies in there. But I got to looking just a little bit. If you notice that, and notice that, and that, and that. Now, it didn't get the magnitude right, but kind of got the trends right. So that was fairly encouraging to me, the fact that maybe we weren't accounting for everything in our variables and that sort of thing, but over time, the budgets were helping us predict and evaluate compared to the actual soil nitrogen. We were at least from a trend standpoint, we were matching up. So these are the things I learned from 18 years of pulling my hair out, beating myself up because I couldn't make the data fit the model. First off, you have to recognize the regulatory expectations. You know, regulators in a situation, they'd like to put a few numbers, and it looks real good. You put a few numbers and fill in the blanks, and you run the spreadsheet and come out with the right answer. Well, I did put the numbers in the box, and I did run a spreadsheet, and sometimes I got the right answer and sometimes not. But that's reality. Question is, what do we do in terms of the process? And these permits are written in different ways. And do you use a budget? Do you use a calculation? Or do you depend on soil monitoring? Well, in this case, the soil monitoring helped validate the changes in that nitrogen budget. We could use that as a tool to tell whether our predictions were right or wrong. But by the same token, that budgeting process, going through it, helped us validate the soil nitrogen. We could look at it and in some cases kind of give an idea of why it was we were off and help explain that to the client and the regulator. We tried to address the variability, and I think these are some ways you can do that, at least to help out, using the microplots as monitoring sites rather than looking at the field composite. There's limitations to that, but it gave us some sort of replication. Not replication like you do in plot work where you have three or four different reps, but we were replicating in time and replicating in space. So we were considering management or weather or whatever kind of overall as kind of one great big variable. It helped to turn those micro budgets into macro budgets. It, again, didn't, the variability didn't disappear, but it made it just a little bit easier to work with. And then just like we've done here, if you present it as numeric and graphic presentations, you have to look at your data in a number of different ways, and maybe that helps make some sense out of it. And last, certainly taking a look at the magnitude, maybe we didn't get the numbers right from year to year, but it looked like we were getting some of the trends right. So those are the things I learned, and like I said, it started out the first time I did a budget, I thought I knew it all, and reality hit me, and it humbled me as an agronomist, but it was a very useful exercise. Taught me a lot about dealing with nitrogen budgeting and the realities that we find in the field. So with that, I thank you, and thank you.
Hey, do you have any questions? I have a question.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
The size of the field, what's grown on the field? Those plots you see, you have
center pivots are
they're
120 acres, and in this case, sometimes the entire field was planted to the same crop. There was sometimes a half, and that was one of the challenges to do that post-mortem. Sometimes the farmer planted was the west half and east half, or the north half and south half, or the southwest half and the northeast half, and I had to sort all that sort of thing out. So that was a real challenge. And that's one of the reasons we tried to have three microplots in each field so that we could kind of cover that.
Okay.
Then, Brian.
You know, Fred, I wonder if, you know, rather than trying to look at it on a small scale like that, you know, if you look at the whole 18 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, these are some fairly deep-rooted crops, and, you know, they're probably, you know, probably accessing that nitrogen as far as losing it or worrying about their equipment on too much. I mean, so you tended to overpredict, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you look at the whole 18 years, I mean, you feel like that's successful? Terms of, you know, we didn't really overwhelm the environment with excess nitrogen.
Well, one of the problem was the fact that we did do distributions and we were loading up the subsoil with nitrogen because we sampled in many cases down to 10 feet. And that was one of the things with the operator, what I call the operator variability. Toward the beginning of the project, they're very conscientious, the first two operators. And after that, the last few years, they got, you know, the people that were running were just, they were given the job, handed the job, and it was simply a disposal site. And so, you know, I don't know if we were, good question whether we were trending up or trending down. I didn't, it'd be good to go back and kind of, for my own purposes, just go back and evaluate that to see if we were actually loading or not loading.
What about weather? Did you take, in the season, like, wet season and dry season,
I didn't factor those in. All the monthly calculations were based, I kept them the same, tried to estimate denitrification, that sort of thing. And again, that's a time and budget limitation,
yeah.
To be able to put all that in there. We just tried to keep it consistent. Yes, sir?
So did the regulators use the actual soil data to regulate the facility?
You know, I hate to plead near, I don't know. I did not get that feedback. They're currently under an administrative order, if that answers the question. So, you know, our job, and again, that was frustrating to me because we were not involved in that planning process. All we told them was, hey, this is what it looks like, and they made their own decisions. But sometimes that's all you can do. You know, I disclaimered it. I said, here's the data, and it's building up or not building up, and you need to make a change. And they decided not to make a change. Thank you.